It is Thursday, April 18th. This is Jaguars Happy Hour. Jaguars Happy Hour is presented by the St. John's River Water Management District. And now, a guy still standing after avoiding a play-in, J.P. Shatrick.
And welcome in. It's Jaguars Happy Hour. It is April 18th, 1 week to the NFL draft, a busy hour ahead. Well, because it's a week ahead of the draft, the pre-draft media luncheon today, featuring Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke. We'll hear from both the head coach and general manager. Some comments from them coming up shortly. Earlier in the week, the players back in the building for the offseason program, phase one, Trevor Lawrence and Foye Oluokun. We'll hear from both of those guys. We'll keep it real, as we always do. Microsoft questions coming up in just a little bit as well. And Jaguars Happy Hour is brought to you by the St. John's River Water Management District, Florida's water. It's worth saving. We're on 1010XL, Jaguars.com, Jaguars YouTube, J.P. Shatrick, with Jeff Loggeman, who is finally making his way into the studio. Welcome. Welcome, a thousand welcomes. Glad you could make it with your fresh hot coffee with creamer in it, and good afternoon.
Thank you, JP. Was just conversing with a few of the leftover media members in the media room.
Those aren't leftovers. Post. Those are fresh starters, those guys.
Yeah. But those, I mean, you know, the leftover guys, the guys that are still kind of hanging out for a little bit, wanting to talk. And I was looking at my watch going, guys, I got to go.
You didn't have to go far, which is a good part.
No, I didn't have to go far.
About this building. And busy week. Players are back
busy
in.
Busy day.
Baalke and Peterson speaking today, and we're a week to the draft, and there's a lot to discuss today.
It's a cool time of year for the NFL because, this is the hope springs eternal, I guess is the saying that you could kind of use for this time of year, because – every team is kind of getting started with the off-season stuff, and so there's a little bit of excitement that builds in every community that these NFL teams are at. And then also with the draft right around the corner, that provides hope for a lot of teams that haven't been that good, that, hey, look, maybe this year we can really get some good players to where we can compete. We can compete for a title, including this team. So it's a fun time of year to be an NFL fan because you're not losing. Everybody's good. Everybody's got a hope.
Yeah, most everybody.
Well, who doesn't? Name me one team that doesn't have hope.
The Cardinals.
Yeah, that's true.
There's one.
Gosh, what's tough going on? I mean, are you following what's going on with Terry McDonough?
He's suing everybody, I guess.
Well, no, he's not suing everybody. Right. He's going to go after the Cardinals, though.
Yeah.
Bidwell, I mean, some of the things that are coming out on that kind of stuff, if people haven't read it, I mean, go read about the Cardinals and Terry McDonough, who I know Terry. Mm-hmm. He was here for a period of time with the Jaguars, and he filed a grievance against the Cardinals, which it's his right to do that. That's how the system is set up. And then the Cardinals came at him with almost a personal attack, and which was found by an in-house person that looks at those things for the NFL, found it to be true. And they were bad-mouthing Terry as his family. Yeah. I mean, it's just a bad thing.
Yeah. So that was the first team that popped in my head that might not have a – we'll see.
Well, if you got Bidwell running the show, you don't have a whole lot of chance of winning football games in Arizona.
Let's get to a team that does have a chance, and this is the Jacksonville
right
Jaguars,
yeah,
of course, and the GM Trent Baalke and head coach Doug Peterson speaking earlier today at a press conference at 2 o'clock here at the Miller Electric Center, in the pre-draft media luncheon. Trent Baalke discussing trade possibilities from number 17.
There's a lot, as you know, that goes into it. You know, we feel good about the group that's there, and at different positions, you know, that we're focused in on a little bit. But you don't know what's going to happen. You really aren't going to know what we're going to do until maybe the 12th or 13th pick. You know, and then we'll look at the opportunity to potentially move up, you know, and if we get to 16 like we did last year and somebody calls and there's a chance to move back one or two, you know, you just don't know. You're playing it on game day.
So he mentioned last year, and actually last year the Jags moved back twice in the first round before picking Anton Harrison in the first round, the right tackle. And it has happened a number of times. In fact, eight different times, eight different drafts, the Jaguars have first round trade history, either up or down or trading back into the first round. Starting way back in 95, they started 31st overall with a supplemental pick. They obviously had the number two pick that year with Boselli, but they had a later pick and moved up to 19th overall in that draft to get James Stewart. Rob Johnson traded to Buffalo to get the ninth overall pick, of course, in 98. Fred Taylor, 2007. Reggie Nelson was the pick when the Jags moved down to 21. 2008, Derek Harvey was the pick. They moved up to eighth to get him. 2011, Blaine Gabbert moved up to 10th to get him from 16. 2012, moved up from 7 to 5 to get Justin Blackmon. And then a trade up back into the first round in 22 to get Devin Lloyd. And as we mentioned, Anton Harrison last year.
Leave that graphic up for a minute.
Jaguars.com, free video.
If you look at that graphic and you say, okay, what can be learned from this? What do you take away from that graphic? Because, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but, you know, look, you sometimes have to use hindsight to be able to learn about what not to do or what to do in the future.
I see James Stewart had some big moments here. Fred Taylor certainly did.
Well, that's not really – I mean, that wasn't an active trade during the draft process. That was
right.
Okay, so I don't consider that. I'm talking about trading up or down in the first round.
Well, it costs you a lot to move up. I know that.
Well, and also, look, you traded up to get James Stewart. Okay, good football player. Solid guy. I mean, great guy.
Yeah.
Was it ultra productive? No. Reggie Nelson, 17th, and you moved to 21st, so I was a trade back. But then you moved up to the eighth spot overall for Derek Harvey. That did not work out.
Nope.
It did not work out for Blaine Gabbert, but I get it. You're taking a shot at a quarterback. Sometimes you have to do that. You traded up to get Justin Blackmon. It didn't pay any dividends, okay? And then you also, with Devin Lloyd, you traded up to get Devin. And right now, if you're making an opinion on that, was that a success or was that just kind of eh?
I think we're still, the jury's still
out
on that.
Still be determined, but right now, if you had to make a decision on it, you would say, eh, wasn't a great trade.
But it's not done yet.
And then, you know, to trade back and to get Anton Harrison, you acquired so many extra picks. So the lesson is to me is that trading up is not necessarily a positive thing. And Trent Baalke alluded to that in his press conference today. He said, look, the analytics guys will tell you that trading up is never a good thing. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going up to get a quarterback, in my opinion, for every other position, you just stay put where you are or you try to move back and then take the best available player. Not a guy that, well, he might be the best player, but we got a need there. No. Take the best available player always, in my opinion.
Unless you know for a fact in your heart of hearts that the guy you're moving up for another position is a Hall of Fame talent, right? How do you really know
that? You don't know that.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
But
know that.
If you have a philosophical...
It's a percentages game.
Yeah.
It's a percentages game. You know, so...
You got Aaron Donald sitting there waiting on you, but they
when
didn't
Aaron
know
Donald
that when
Aaron Donald was
came
coming out from Pittsburgh, JP, I
That's
watched
right.
the film on him, and I'm sitting there watching the film, and I'm going, he's really good. He's got quickness. He's got suddenness. But, man, he's kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, I watched the film on him. I didn't see a Hall of Fame guy. I watched the film on T.J. Watt, and I was like, you know, I don't think he's a first-rounder. He's probably a second-rounder. He's one of the best players in the league right now. You know, so, again, it's a percentages game.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I watched the defensive end in Cleveland.
Miles Garrett.
Hands down, this guy's a super freak, no doubt. This guy is a Hall of Fame type of talent. So that's one of the guys that I probably watched. When I watched Clowney coming out, I was like, Clowney, this guy can do everything. He's studding, he's violent, he can play anywhere, he can be moved around. I don't know if he's a great pass rusher. So, I mean, my evaluation on him was fairly accurate. It wasn't perfect because I thought that he would be more of an impact throughout his career. But one of those guys that's just, you know, freakish. And so, again, because it's a percentages game, I don't ever think that you go into any pick saying, this guy's a Hall of Famer. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm. The other part, a lot of conversation, about a 30-minute or plus press conference today for Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson. But he talked about the different variables that you look at when scouting a prospect. One of those is football IQ and how – do you scout that as a GM and a scouting staff?
You know, we Zoom call these guys. We send coaches to workouts. We send coaches to meet with them. We bring them in on the 30 visit. We get in front of them as much as we can. Every opportunity we get a chance to talk to a guy that we have concerns about, we do. We interview them at the combine. We interview them at the All-Star games. We interview them at their pro days. We get as much time in front of them as we can. The coaches make calls to the coaches that work with these players. You gather as much as you can, you know, and usually by the time you get to the draft, you got them pretty well figured out from that perspective. And sometimes guys come in and they fool you, you know, and you can't just use test scores to say a guy can learn or can't learn. That doesn't work. There's guys that have had low test scores that learn extremely well. There's guys that have had high test scores that don't learn very well when it comes to football. So you just got to do your homework.
And we know from the past around here, at least the recent past, that Doug Peterson, from a coaching perspective, needs that high football IQ type of player, and certainly in those skill positions at wide receiver when guys are moving and you know, routes can change mid-play, and you've got to be on and know everything going on.
And I think it's pretty unique, my experiences in the league for being around it for a long time as a player and then as an analyst, is that there are different kinds of smarts. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have a player who is book smart to be smart in football or to have football IQ. I mean, some of the smartest guys I was ever around, some of them weren't book smart, but, man, they knew football. And they had that instinct, that anticipation when they played the game that other guys that were smart and could test, okay, on paper, outstanding. But you put them in that moment, and they just—it didn't function. It didn't compute for them. So, I think Trent is spot on when he talks about how there's different kinds of football smarts, and the one thing that I would do if I was a GM, and I'm sure that this football team probably does it, I would think that they would, is that you're getting ready to invest in the draft, okay, JP. This year's draft class, what's the total amount that this team has to spend for this draft class ballpark? Do you know anybody, any chance?
It's like 10 or something, 10 to 12.
But it's $10 million. But, I mean, contracts overall, if you added up the total value of the contract, it's, what is it, $100 million? I mean, it's expensive.
Okay.
It's a lot of money.
It's not cheap.
So if you're getting ready to invest millions of dollars, wouldn't you hire a, quote, person to vet, to do background research, to investigate everything that you could find about the prospects that you say, hey, look, we like these guys. Let's get to know more about them. I'm private eye. I mean, whatever you want to call them. I would want to know everything about these guys. If I'm getting ready to drop millions of dollars down in an investment and to bring in to my locker room guys that I know could have a big impact and they also could have a bad impact, I want to know as much as I can. And I'm not saying that you need to have Sherlock Holmes,
old CIA guys in there, like doing the wiretapping and things.
No.
All that? No.
And no, I'm not talking
get
about
smart. Remember that show?
Yeah, I know. That was awesome.
The shoe phone. Pull that out.
But to the point of that, you try to pursue every relationship, every avenue that you possibly can to investigate somebody's background that you're going to be investing millions in. And not so much because of the dollar amount, but because if you mess up and somebody's a bad person, you've lost an opportunity to improve your team. So I would think when Trent talks about, you know, you're talking to all these people and that's all part of that vetting process and doing the background work to find out who that person is at its core.
Plenty ahead. We'll hear from the head coach, Doug Peterson. We'll hear from Trevor Lawrence on the contract discussions. That's all ahead. We're on 1010XLAM, Jaguars.com, Jaguars YouTube, JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars Happy Hour is brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving.
There's definitely been some conversations. You know, as far as where that's at now, it's not really my focus. You know, I'd love to obviously be a Jag. So for as long as possible, we love it here, and I love where we're headed as an organization, and feel like I'm just getting better every year, and my best ball is definitely ahead of me. So from that standpoint, obviously, yeah, that would be great. But like you said, it's going into my fourth year. It's not like this is necessarily going to be my last season. You know, there's a lot that could happen. So not really my focus right now. At the end of the day, my job isn't going to change whether I get extended or not before this season. My job is to go win games and to be the best I can be for this team so we can have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So even if I get the contract extension, that's still my job, even more so. You know, there's even more expectation and pressure on that. So for me, I have the same focus and the same mindset. I can't lie, obviously it would be nice to have that done and, you know, feel good about it, but no, it's not really the focus right now. I know where we're at, I know where we're heading, and I know what I have to do, and, you know, there's some improvements that I have to make going forward.
That is Trevor Lawrence earlier this week discussing the contract negotiations, and welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. John's River Water Management District, Florida's water. It's worth saving. And whether you need air, electric, or plumbing service, Donovan is always a good call. They've been trusted by their customers for almost 40 years. Trust them to deliver fast, reliable service to your home. Well, Trent Baalke today discussed the other side of those conversations.
Hey, real quick, though, just throw out there, because, you know, Trevor's conversation about his contract. And me and you were having a conversation during the break, and that they have the opportunity to pick up the fifth-year option in May.
May 2nd is the deadline for both of the first-round draft picks that year. It'd be him and Travis Etienne.
And because Trevor is in his party, and Trent talked about how they're having conversations with Trevor's people. He talked about that today.
As recently as last night.
Yep. And so I was going to make the suggestion to Trevor, because you see a lot of these NFL players that are doing that now, that they stop following the team on social media. And so I was going to say to Trevor, you know, he needs to stop following the Jaguars, you know, remove any kind of Jaguars logos from his social media accounts until he gets a new contract. Is that not the dumbest thing you've ever heard? How people do that? It's just stupid. It's childish. Who was the latest guy that just did that? I can't remember who it was. I was reading somewhere.
Didn't Jalen do that with
yeah,
the
Jalen
Jags?
Did it too. And yeah. I mean, it's such a childish clown act. I mean, come on. Are you serious? Boy, that's really going to change the posture of the negotiations.
That'll show up.
If you remove your team from your social media account. Come on.
By the way, the Jaguars have been nominated for a Webby Award in the sports video category for the 2023 schedule release video. But we can't win without you. Go cast your vote now at WebbyAwards.com, WebbyAwards.com. This is the last day you can vote. You got to get it in today, I believe before midnight each.
I voted last week.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that. All right, let's continue with the Jaguars head coach, who is also at the podium today alongside Trent Baalke. And, you know, I was asked a lot about the working together, the cooperation between scouting and coaching, and it continues here in 2024.
It, as far as, you know, our involvement as a staff, myself, it's the best I've been around. It's one of the things that Trent really has been open to, you know, the evaluation process from the coaches, right? And he understands the coaching side of it as well as the scouting side of it, and the involvement has been, you know, it's the same every year. It's probably even gotten a little bit more, you know, just the more comfortable that we are working together. And you know, it takes everybody, you know, to put a roster together. And it's not about one guy making all the decisions, right? And so there's a lot of input. He values what the coaches say and how the coaches rank and stack players. Just like, you know, we appreciate what the scouts do, because they're the ones that are out there, you know, every single day scouting these players. So it's been a really good process, and one that as a coach, you know, you can really appreciate.
All right, so that's Doug Peterson's perspective and response about that today at the press conference. Full press conference available at Jaguars.com. And I mean, this is an interesting time of year, because players are back in, off-season program
So you got to balance what you're doing with them for at least a few hours a day and getting the, you know, everything, the new defense going and all this going on, strength and conditioning right now. And then you're getting ready for the draft as well, and you're contributing to that process. So for a head coach, there's a lot on his plate.
Well, and they also talked a little bit during the press conference, because now that you have a new defense and a new defensive coordinator, for example, past coaches here in the past, Mike Smith wanted a certain type of corner, wanted a certain type of defensive lineman. Okay, Gus Bradley wanted the length corners, you know, the tall, long kind of guys, kind of like what they had in Seattle back in the day. Mike Caldwell wanted corners that could play some man. Okay, what does Ryan want? You know, so there's been these conversations, according today. Trent said that they had a conversation, last name Ryan Nielsen, right? The new
Correct.
Defensive coordinator.
Yes, yep.
And him and Trent had a conversation about the type of players that he wants to have for his defense. And then also Trent alluded to the fact that it's kind of comes a little bit from that mindset of the Parcells camps that Trent said he has experience kind of looking for those types that Nielsen is looking for. But that's important, because coaches always want to have a certain skill set at every position group in their mind that's going to be able to function to make it all work together. So it'll be interesting to see a lot of things on the defensive side of the ball this year. Number one is the draft and how they draft and what type of players are they going to be targeting. But then also, what's that – the targeted players, how are they going to fit in this new scheme? Because, you know, we think we know what the scheme's going to be. We don't know for sure. Because every time, even though a defensive coordinator may move from Team A to Team B, a lot of times the staff that he has – from Team A to Team B will change, and sometimes a little bit of that scheme will change along with it because of input from others. So it'll be fun to watch to see all of that come together.
Again, the full press conference from today available at Jaguars.com. Let's rewind a little bit back to Tuesday. That was Tuesday, right? Today's Thursday?
Today is Thursday.
All day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, every Thursday we do this show.
All day, it's Thursday.
Not all day. Just
well, no, the show's an hour.
4 to 5 this time of year.
But 24 hours, yeah. It's Thursday. But 2 days ago was Tuesday, and that's when Trevor Lawrence, who we just heard from a moment ago, and Foye Oluokun, the Jaguars linebacker, spoke. And as you said, Logs a little different on defense, new coordinator, some new faces there. But for Foye Oluokun, he's been around here for a couple years now. He's trying to make that transition as well. There's a lot of new. However, he's not putting away the disappointment of last season so easily.
That would be in a rear view. Maybe next year after the season. I mean, I got a lot of questions on it throughout the offseason, and it's hard to think about just when it even started. We started off winning, but we weren't winning convincingly how maybe the score might have showed, but we knew that we weren't playing our best football. And I think a lot of those things caught up to us, and then trying to right our wrongs a little too late in the season, then it's a little bit more stressful when teams are hitting their stride and we're trying to find out how to do things right. That hurt for sure. And I think it will fuel us. Everybody's committed to doing things right this time around. We don't want to get in that position again. And it starts from the first game all the way to the last, you know. But just keeping improving every week, no matter what the scoreboard is, you know, keeping our standard every week. Because sometimes you win games that you didn't play your best. Now you don't learn from them if you're not trying to get better. I think that kind of happened to us, and we're not going to do that this year.
Foye Oluokun, pretty telling answer about how things were last year.
Actually. That might be the most relaxed I've ever seen him in front of the camera. Usually he's so intense.
Yeah.
And he's kind of relaxed. It's that time of year, though, I guess.
I guess that's part of it. But maybe the environment's a little different too, right? I mean, there was a lot going on the last couple of years.
Maybe.
As he alluded to there.
You know, Foye's a super smart guy. You know, we were talking earlier about football IQ. You want to talk about football IQ, that guy right there. If there was a way to mine or to withdraw some of that football IQ and share it with the rest of the team.
Like a serum or something?
Like you'd take blood out of him, you know, because it's got all that football IQ.
Transfusion.
I mean, he's incredible. I mean, literally, when you watch the film on him, he is always – stepping in the direction that the play is going before the play is actually going in that direction. It's amazing to watch. He is Daryl Smith in Jaguars history. I'm talking about special inside linebackers that I really enjoyed watching.
Okay. Yeah.
First of all, I love the motor of Mike Peterson.
Yeah.
Okay, and the guy was just, you know, 100 miles an hour all the time. Mm-hmm. Darryl Smith, the consistency, the strength, the such a well-rounded game that he could play the Mike, the Sam, the Will. It didn't matter.
It never should have left Jacksonville. That's
never. It was that was one of the dumbest decisions in Jaguars history was letting him go.
Anyway.
But how watching Foyer on film is pure joy. You can look at his 75th snap of a game and compare it to his first snap, and he's still playing at the same speed. I don't know how anybody can do that. But watching the anticipation that he plays the game with is fun to watch, and it's impressive to watch. I think the people that know football and can really kind of, and people that have played the game, that like me, that have, are watching a guy like that, that says something that he's fun to watch just because of that standpoint, the intelligence that he plays this game at.
Paul Posluszny's in that realm too.
Oh my God, Paul's yeah, but Paul was one of those guys that he just never wasted a step, so he would wait and then he was just, you know, gone, but he never wasted steps. He didn't anticipate as much as Foyer does to some extent. He was good, but not quite as fast with that first step. Now Telvin Smith was always one step behind, but he was so daggum fast getting there.
Or he would run ahead of it and catch back up because he was so fast.
He was amazing, just the speed that he played the game at. But, I mean, Paz, Darryl Smith, and Foyer, I mean, those guys, I mean, that's the elite class in Jaguars history. I mean, some really, really good players.
And the other fun part about and I know Paul and Posluszny enjoyed this, was that he had 11 interceptions while he was here as well.
Yeah,
and
one of them, I
that
remember.
That tells you he's back in coverage and reading things right and maybe
what's the one you remember the most?
Oh, Peyton Manning, right?
In Denver. And he had the club or something on his hand or whatever.
Something weird was going on.
Something had something going on with his hand, and he, early in the game, picks it off takes it to the house.
But that tells you he's fooled the quarterback, he's back in coverage, he's athletic enough to do all that too, and that's football IQ.
Pause. I used to love hearing Gus Bradley say pause. It was puzz. It was never pause.
Speaking of Gus Bradley, a side note here before we go to break. Yesterday was the Jags local pro day where they have local prospects from maybe schools around here or they grew up here.
Was Carter Bradley in that?
Carter Bradley, quarterback, was here, Gus's son.
Yeah, he's a prospect. He's a possible draft pick.
Yep.
Maybe late round pick, possibly undrafted guy. Yeah. But he's a diehard fisherman. Carter Bradley is. So when he was here, you know, he's a young man. So he's grown up.
No doubt about it. The Jags are celebrating their 30th season, and the time to get your 2024 season ticket membership. Well, Logs, right now would be a good time to do that.
It's always a good time.
Never a bad time. Be at the bank for every touchdown and secure your seats at jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. When we return, if we haven't already, we will keep it real. It's Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving. Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, glad you're with us today. Jaguars.com, 1010 XL AM, Jaguars YouTube, all the places that we're always on each and every week.
A lot of places.
Everywhere. Well, almost everywhere.
With these things here, you know, the phone?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't get it, can't get it. It's your own fault.
Everything. That's right. It's your fault.
Everything is available through the phone.
Hey, the draft is almost here. We're a week away from the first round, a week from tonight.
Looking forward to it.
We'll be in the stadium.
Who do you think is going to be the first overall pick, JP? It's kind of a big mystery.
Is it? No, it's the Southern Cal quarterback. Who are you talking about? Caleb Williams is going.
Okay, who's
going
to go second? Just trivia for you.
Probably another quarterback.
What do you think? Jaden Daniels?
Probably, I would say probably. Who's picking second? I don't even know.
Washington.
I'll probably go May.
I'd take May too.
And then it'll probably be Daniels right after that. Is my guess.
Yeah. Three in a row. Yeah. His accuracy this past year was pretty incredible. Touchdown interception ratio was good. He's athletic. Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch him. But man, May's got that. those numbers, you know? I mean, sometimes in the numbers, you can't let them overrule the performance. But when you watch his tape, he's got that height that, you know, that you can see. He's got a big arm. He's a big guy. I mean, he's kind of that prototypical NFL quarterback. I'd be surprised if he doesn't go second, but you never know.
You never know. We'll find out a week from tonight, and we'll be at the official Duval draft party at the bank, presented by Donovan Air Electric and Plumbing. And the party starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets are free. Register today. Jaguars.com/draft party. We'll have pre-shows from the stadium. You guys will have a radio show on 1010XL.
That's right. Me, Frank, FM. And Big Baselli. And I think you're going to come on with us for a little bit.
I'll hop in there when I can. And then we've got coverage leading into 8 o'clock, pre-game coverage, if you will. And then right after the pick, we'll have live coverage and all that on Jaguars.com and Jaguars social media. All right, so it's time to keep it real. As we always do. Insert sponsor here. So, our topic today, three positions the Jaguars should pick up this week, or next week, rather, in the draft. Thursday, for whatever, they will pick them up, whatever. Three positions they should draft this year. Go, top three.
Top three, and you want them ranked?
I want them ranked.
I mean, right now, if you do it as far as needs go, corner I would put at the top. Just because Darius Williams is no longer around. This is a passing league, and right now you need some help in the back end. You got a pretty good amount of depth and quality of play at safety, but corner is where you need help, and you've been trying to get some late-round picks to hit over the last couple of years, but really nobody has risen to the front. So I think that's number one. Number two, I would say, is offensive line.
Interior or outside?
I think either one, because and having a guy that can have some flexibility, maybe play inside and then eventually move outside or vice versa, I think is great. You've got to protect the franchise, and the franchise is your quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. And last year you had a deficiency on how physical you were up front, and that needs to be addressed, in my opinion.
I have a question, side note question. We'll get to number three in a moment.
Yeah.
What's wrong with having – a guy that plays one position, and you know that's solidified for 10 years.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Because you can move somebody else if somebody else has some positional flexibility.
I guess that guy's hard to find, obviously. Sometimes.
Which one? Which guy's hard to find?
The one guy who's there for 10 years that you know is a rock and solid and is going to be a franchise.
Well, I mean, Joe Alt's going to be a rock 10 years left tackle. I mean,
he's not swinging around.
And again, nothing's set in stone, because if you remember – I remember going back to my draft class, I think it was, and the front page of the Sports Illustrated was future Hall of Famer Tony Mandarich. And people are like, this guy's a shoe-in of the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He's going to be the next great offensive lineman. And it didn't happen. You know, I mean, the steroids thing kind of came out. He was an average player at best. I mean, but he was an average player. I mean, so it's not like he was a poor player. But, I mean, it's one of those things. It's hard to find somebody that's going to do that. But Joe Alt from Notre Dame is a guy that if he's available at 17, JP, I'd probably take him.
You're running up there.
He's not going to be available at 17.
I mean, so, like Cam Robinson, right? First pick of the second round.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
he's been the left tackle for, eight, 10 years?
The positions, corner, offensive line, and then the third one, I'm going to just throw it out there because I'm not going to give it a specific position because it can be on the inside or it can be on the outside. You got to have somebody that can rush the passer. And right now I think you don't have a lot of depth on the edge. If you can get another edge rusher, by all means. If Latu's there at 17, I mean,
you were drooling about
him
last
week. I love
the guy,
and I told you about it. He's just crazy good. Jared Verse, Florida State, would be my second best edge rusher. Love him. And then you have some of the smaller guys that I don't put in those two categories. The kid at Alabama, Dallas Turner, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. There's a kid at Penn State that's pretty good. That's
Chop Robinson.
Chop's the bigger of the two. There's another one there. Chop, well, I think, wears 33. It's number 20 at Penn State. and I could find it in a minute.
Deesa Isaac.
And then, I'm trying to think of who else there is, the edge rushers. But, I mean, those two guys are the elite players that you're talking about as Latu and Jared Verse, in my opinion.
It's about Deesa Isaac, where it's 20.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Penn State.
So, I mean, those three positions, corner, offensive line, and a pass rusher. But the interior, the defensive tackles, you've got Zerhan Newton and Byron Murphy, I believe it is, from Texas. Newton is from Illinois. These guys are kind of interesting in that they're smaller guys. When I say smaller, shorter guys, not small. I mean, they're both 300-pound guys. But they're shorter. They're 6'1", they're 6'2". And some people are comparing Murphy to a little bit of Aaron Donald. I don't know if I'd go so far to make that comparison, but he's a really good football player. And Newton, obviously, Illinois guy. So that's the alma mater of Tony Khan and Shad Khan. And so there's a little bit of home bias there, I'm sure, just because he's a good football player from Illinois. But I don't know if – I mean, the guy that you just brought in, Eric Armstead, 6'6", 290 pounds, and he's got arms that are so this long right here, JP.
That's pretty long.
Let me turn it this way so the cameras can see. I mean, for those that are listening on radio, just imagine my
arms
spread wide apart.
For those listening on radio, it's long. Yeah.
My arms are spread wide apart. Right. But, I mean, those top two rated guys at defensive tackle, they don't have that kind of length. And there's not really a defensive tackle that's rated as a first-round talent that – has that kind of length. So it'll be interesting to see how that position works out for this team. Because remember, we went into the season, we said they've got to get better on the interior of the offensive line and the defensive line. They got to get more physical.
We did say that.
We'll see. Can they do it? I don't know.
Clock's about to run out. You got to do it at some point. That was Keeping It Real. Each week we do a draft position preview. And you touched on one of the guys in this position group we're going to talk about today, offensive tackles. I ask you each week to pick your top three guys, or three guys, not
three
your top
guys.
Three.
Yeah.
Let's start with Joe Ault of Notre Dame, who you like.
He's just so big, and I guess he's young, but I don't know the specifics of his birthday or anything, but he's like 6'8", 322 pounds, and he's so long that when you watch him get down in his 3-point stance, his butt is like higher than his shoulder pads a lot of times. And it's just so odd because like when you watch Pacelli get down in his stance, he'd be able to have that bend and his shoulder pads were above his hips. But make no mistake, Joe Ault is a punishing blocker. Got tremendous length. This guy is, I think it's hands down, he's the best offensive lineman in the draft. And, I mean, again, it's a percentages game, so I'm not making any guarantees, but this is one of those guys that you feel like has a chance to be that starter at that one position, JP, for a decade.
He's 21 years old, by the way. Just turned 21.
Yeah, he's a young 21.
Yeah. His dad is John Ault, played for the Chiefs from 84 to 96.
I played against his dad.
How was he?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Big, long guy, just like Joe.
Runs in the family, apparently.
Yeah.
J.C. Latham, Alabama tackle. Who you
like?
Yeah,
and, you know, he's not rated amongst the top three or four guys on a lot of boards. But, man, you watch the film on him. First of all, he's got the size. He's a 6'6", 335, 40-pound guy.
Yeah, somewhere. He's big.
He's big, okay. But he carries it really well. And when you watch him on film, he moves effortlessly. I mean, he's just a very graceful, big guy that moves very well. I think the ceiling is really high for him. I think what we've seen from him at Alabama is just, I think, just the tip of the iceberg, to use that statement there. But, I mean, I think he's got a lot of room for growth. He's a right tackle now.
Mm-hmm.
Was a right tackle at Alabama. I think he could play left, but I think he's very comfortable on the right. Leave him at right. And in today's NFL, left tackle, right tackle, they both need to be good pass protectors. He is a special player just because of the grace that he plays the game with, the agility that he plays the game with. And it's not very often that you have somebody that's 6'6", 335, 40 pounds that moves gracefully. That's not easy to find.
No. That's really tough. And it could tell you a lot about what the future could hold for Cam Robinson and Walker Little if they were to go with this position very early in this draft, you know?
Could. And by the way, just a side note, he's not in my top three, but Mims, the guy from Georgia who has not played a lot, Amarius Mims,
yeah.
He's a guy that I think could be a good second-round pick for a team. He's also got some of that gift of natural size and athleticism as well. But my third guy is Fuanga.
Talese Fuanga, Oregon State.
It's actually Fuanga.
Yes.
There's an N in there that's in the pronunciation that's not in there.
Thank you.
In the spelling. And this is a big mauling right tackle. One of these guys that if you want to have a little bit of attitude with your offensive line, which this offensive line here needs a little bit of that, he's going to provide some of that. The one thing that I will say about him is that it's going to be – he's a little over-aggressive with his pass stuff. He gets caught. He gets his arms chopped. He gets caught leaning, which has me a little bit concerned, but he's just got kind of naturally gifted feet the way he moves, which is fun to watch. And he definitely likes to he's not very nice on the field, which is what you like in an offensive lineman. And I think that's his biggest strength. And he's just a big dude. I mean, naturally big dude. The other guy that is on the top of many boards, which is Troy Foutanu from Washington. I'm not sure. Foutanu.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are excited about him. And when I watch him, I see guard. He doesn't have that natural size that Latham or Fuanga has
or
Ault. He's shorter in stature. He's got really good hands and really good athleticism. But I think he could play tackle, but I think his natural spot is guard, and I think he's got a really natural movement to him. I think he would be better suited to playing guard.
Did you look at Olu Fashanu from Penn State tackle?
I did, and he's big. I mean, he's naturally big.
Don't watch the Ohio State game.
Don't watch it.
Oh.
No, JP, I'm just telling you.
Tui Moloau, for 2 years in a row, ripped that offensive line to shreds, including him.
And there's there's a reason many team people have him rated in the top three because he's a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about him that's a little off. Like when he sets, he doesn't gain a lot of ground with his sets. So he's kicking, but he's not gaining a lot
not
of ground.
Moving.
And then so a lot of times he ends up having to turn to catch up to chase a guy. And when an offensive tackle turns to chase a guy, he's essentially open than the gate, shortening the corner. And he's a little stiff, a little stiff. So that's why I have
– There you go. He wasn't on your list.
Why he wasn't on my list. Many people had him up there.
Yeah.
He's a big guy now. He's 6 foot mm-hmm. six, you know. But again, it's there's something a little bit too mechanical. And then, again, the steps don't seem to be as fluid.
There you have it. A look at offensive tackles. We're back in a moment with Microsoft social media questions on 1010XL, Jaguars.com, and Jaguars YouTube. It's Jaguars Happy Hour, brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving.
Tough way to end for me. Did everything that I could to try to get back, but just a couple weeks behind, but I'm feeling really good. You know, spent about a month here after the season just trying to get my body back to the place that it needed to be, and, you know, I'm pain-free now, and, you know, just happy to be back in the building around the guys and just, you know, with a new mindset and new mentality to just bounce back from last year. Obviously, we didn't meet the expectations that we had for ourselves, and, you know, we have a chip on our shoulder, and we're going to come in every day in the off-season program and work towards that.
Christian Kirk caught up with him in the hallway yesterday here at the Miller Electric Center. The full conversation at Jaguars.com. Remember, he had a core muscle thing for a while, was trying to play through it, and then a groin injury on that Monday Night Football game. First catch of the game, he goes down. He's done for the year. Was actually back on the practice field some weeks later, which is remarkable, but just couldn't find his way to the game field. It's Jaguars Happy Hour, brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving. and he was the key to the whole thing on offense, I felt. I mean, he was gone, and it was like a totally different world.
Yeah, and I mean, you add in, you know, with last year, the quarterback dealing with a variety of injuries last year and then losing the most dependable receiving option that he had in Christian Kirk. And, you know, and that's kind of was what was part of the contribution to one of the worst finishes to a season in franchise history.
Oh, the worst. Oh, come on. One of? Well,
I was not even close. Trying to be nice. Jeez.
Come on, Logs. This is what it was.
I'm trying to be nice.
Being nice business is what it was.
Okay.
It was 5 of 6.
All right, well, go ahead and let everybody
know.
8-3.
Everybody knows. Everyone's aware. Trust me.
Well,
they brought it up on the TV and Trevor Lawrence.
We heard
all those
earlier
guys talking about
Foyer and Trevor talking about how they're going to use that as motivation, and, right. and they should. I mean, they should be bitter and angry about it because that's – I mean, they were – at that one point, were they 8-3?
Yes.
And team or people around the league were talking about the Jaguars being the team to beat in the National Football League, and then it was – the most epic collapse in franchise history. And yeah, that should leave a bad taste in your mouth and give you a lot of extra motivation going into every year in the future.
AEW returns to Daily's Place coming up soon. Two action-packed nights, AEW Dynamite April 24th, AEW Collision and Rampage April 27th. Tickets on sale now, dailysplace.com. JP Shadrick, Jeff Logan. Time for the social media questions powered by Microsoft. We put the cat signal out today. Here's the best we've come up with. At JagsFan72, what are the chances of the Jaguars getting the trifecta this offseason? Josh Allen signed, check. Extend Trevor Lawrence and the stadium deal.
Well,
I mean, the Trevor Lawrence stuff's being talked about.
Am I trying to put a number on this? I mean, is that what I'm
chances,
supposed to do?
Right, I guess. Chances?
First of all,
percentage?
I'm not in those discussions, but that Trent Baalke is having, and also, as Trent said today, ownership is involved in that because the size of the contract is going to be probably bigger than the initial value of the franchise when it was purchased by Wayne Weaver.
Sure.
I'm not serious.
I'm not joking. I know, yeah.
I'm being dead serious.
Right.
I mean, that's where that contract's probably going to be at,
yeah.
And which is a large number. And the stadium deal, I would hope that it gets done. It needs to get done.
From all reports, it's trending the right way. So,
yeah, so I'm feeling positive on all fronts.
You want a percentage that? 85?
You want me to put a number on it?
I'll
go 75.
Okay, that's good.
I'll go 75. You know, 70, 75, somewhere in that range, yeah.
Good. It's good.
I mean, you know, I hope it's like
100.
99.9 because there's never a sure thing in life. You know, so I'll stick with the 99.9.
Because it's April 18th.
But 75, so, 70, 75.
There's a lot of.
What else you got?
A lot of weeks ahead. At GTRZN71. What is the real difference between Doug calling plays versus press calling plays? Ultimately, doesn't Doug have final say? From Trevor's comments, it seems he wants press for the continuity unless he's just towing the company line.
Well, I don't get the impression that Trevor toes the company lines because he feels like he's obligated to tow company lines. So I think that's a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's an insult, but it's not very fair. Trevor, I think, is very open and honest and speaks his mind. And look, I get it. And that Doug always has the ultimate authority. He's the head coach, and he's an offensive-minded head coach. Now, what's the difference between Doug or press calling the plays? I think every play caller has a groove. And every play caller can be in a groove and then also lose the groove, just like a batter in baseball. You feel like you just, you know, when you step to the plate, you're seeing the ball and you're just feeling the ball and you're making great contact. And then sometimes you hit a slump and sometimes you just don't feel like that. Hey, I can't make anything right. I can't swing the bat well at all. And I think sometimes that happens with a play caller too.
You know who had the groove in the second half of games in 2022?
Press Taylor.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
all of a sudden he can't call plays.
I think they're both capable of calling plays, and yes, Doug has the ultimate oversight because he's the head coach.
Yeah, he can veto.
He can veto anything he wants.
He's on the headset.
He can make suggestions. He can tell press what to do. Hey, press. By the way, you're going to call ZX right 34 on 2 and give him the snap count as well. Whatever that play call would be.
Yeah. What would that be? You think?
What's that?
That Z, whatever you just said.
I'm just making something up. You know, I mean, defense, it was just so simple.
Pirate. Let's run the pirate.
Yes, you know, over pirate cover 3. Okay, break. Off the offensive terminology, put it this way. If it was like an efficiency of use of words, defensive play call might be like 5 words. An offensive play call might have, you know, and defense would have a combination of words and numbers. I would say 5 total.
I'm not going to talk about offense, the football IQ of defensive players.
Offense
right
might
I'm
have
not.
Like 12 to 15 word number combinations.
It's a lot.
It's very different.
The Microsoft questions are in. Thank you for the submissions, and thanks for listening. Here, a week from tonight, we'll be doing the draft.
Looking forward to it. I love the draft. I do. I love the draft. And then I'm looking forward to – I got a little reunion next weekend too, JP.
Quickly.
1984 Virginia State High School Baseball Champions. I have a reunion to go to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Used a little baseball thing earlier.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Our thanks to Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber. For Jeff Lagerman, I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks to you for listening. It's Jaguars Happy Hour, presented by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving.